everyone. Discover the insider secrets of the top tech hiring managers in the industry. Know the actual intelligence behind all the successful tech hires. I'm Priyanka and welcome to Hiring Managers 101 podcast. For this week's episode, I'm pleased to welcome Om Vikram Thapa, who's the Director of Engineering at MicMyTrip. He defines himself as an E-cube that is energetic, enthusiastic, and efficient. And I completely agree with him, and so does his team. Having worked in the field of engineering for the last 15 plus years, Om has acquired extensive experience in the engineering domain. And aside from work, he's also very passionate about football and coaches at BBFS, which is Bhaichung Bhutia Football School. And he also plays CT at the organizational level, so he's a pro at that as well. Om, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Priyanka. Thank you for this opportunity. I think you have already told a lot in such a small span of time, but I would like to say that we are still learning, we are still grooming, and we are giving competition to all the young people who are looking out for, you know, opportunities here at Go Make My Trip or elsewhere, like for the sports. If you are looking for any suggestions or those, that is also, we are on top of it. So I'll give a little bit of a career snapshot about myself so that people can get aware about this. Like, I have always been a product-based firm guy. Started with a startup called MCube Investment Software as a junior software engineer. I always thought that I am really, really good at Java, but I got a job in .NET. So technology doesn't stick to it, you know, and it changes as per the time, right? People in 2000 may be learning C or C++, but right now, people actually has changed, you know, moved towards Golang, Java, and, you know, other object-oriented programming languages, right? So I spent 5 years there in MCube Investment Software and, you know, groomed as a senior software engineer there, learned a lot about the backend technologies in C#, .NET, ADO.NET, ASP.NET, and got a little bit of taste of the front-end technologies also. Redbus happened. Redbus was just a startup. It was selling something around 500 tickets in a day. And spent 5 more years there. By that time, I think I have seen the acquisition of Guaivo and Redbus. And also, I saw it spread its wings towards the international borders like Peru, Colombia, Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia. And it's always good to know that a small Indian startup is growing and it's making a name in the international borders, right? Here, when I left as a senior engineering manager, we started doing 150,000 tickets in a day. So that was growth, you can see. Later on, actually, I started writing a lot of articles on payment platform in e-commerce, payment gateways, and how it is working in you know, domestic and international market. And Amazon payment platform team actually reached out to me, started working together for some time. I came back and joined back again, GoIVO and Make My Trip. By that time, during this time, actually, Make My Trip has merged with GoIVO. I may be one of the very few people who has worked with Redbus, GoIVO, and Make My Trip to Umbrella.
Yeah, awesome. You know, so I'm very curious to know, what is your favorite aspect of this industry that drives your passion for engineering and has made you stick around for nearly 15 plus years now?
So most of the time, so I'll tell you a little bit of background that, right, I was doing BSc in maths. And most of the people in North India actually goes for BSc or BA as a graduation stream. And then later on, there was a transition during 2003-2007, where people started taking part into, you know, a lot of AIEEE exams, NIT exams, as engineering, right? So they wanted to go to a technology side also. And 2 years down the line, I felt that the simple graduation is not challenging enough or not interesting enough to explore more wider area. And after Y2K, there was like a lot of things going on in internet. People are actually looking for software engineers, Infosys, Wipro, Accenture. Everybody was actually growing at that time. I decided that I will leave the graduation in between and I'll apply for, you know, technology or become a software engineer. And then after that, actually, I was studying in UP at that time in North India. And then I tried one of the exams called UP Technical University, got into, you know, a BTech program. And about the streams, there are different streams going on and you don't have a clear idea about it. Just like a fresher, any graduate, there is a mechanical engineering, civil engineering, chemical and everything, right? Electronics communication. So I thought that the simplest one, which I can understand right now, is computers. Let's try to, you know, take computer science and engineering. And how I started my BTech. So it was never like a dream per se to become a hiring manager or, you know, engineer, software engineer. But when I joined it, and after understanding the nuances, the syntax and semantics of computer science, then I decided, okay, this is the field which I was always supposed to join.
That's great. You know, so your passion grew after you started exploring. And yeah, I think you're also a coach at, you know, BBFS, which is Bhaichung Bhutia Football School. So how has your overall experience and, you know, journey been so far? And any tips on how you manage to, you know, maintain a healthy balance between work and play?
Yeah, this actually happened during the pandemic. I have always been a football follower and I have played football in regional and national level also. In my school, college, we have never won a championship. And I'll tell you that frankly, I started actually a small team in the organization, which started with 5 people, but currently it is a 50 team member. It is called Samurai FC. Where we really take part into the amateur leagues, right? So I'm the captain and founder of that particular football club. And then during the pandemic, this whole passion of every Friday meeting and, you know, playing the football went off for the toss, right? Everybody was just sharing news over the group, saying that what's going on, you know, football, now we don't have anything to talk about because English Premier League, Champions League, everything was stopped actually at that time. So I saw once the first lockdown, you know, got over, and then there is a second lockdown, removed some barriers of the parents thinking that, you know, their kids can go outside in the sunlight and they can play in the playground. In my apartment, there are like 4 or 5 kids who started coming out with the mask on. And I thought, why not I again start the same passion of the football along with these kids. And I started Sunday classes, or Sunday batches for with the help of 3 or 4 kids starting. And then it grew and a lot of parents came out. They took out that hesitation out of the pandemic and they wanted their kids to be happy and healthy also. And I grew up to 82 kg at that time. I also wanted to lose my weight. Every Sunday we met and this small bunch of the kids actually become 12 people, 12 members team. And we started having 6-a-side matches actually. We do proper warm-up, pre-warm-up before the game. Then we play the, you know, I will tell them the tricks, some of the basic tricks which they have to apply. And at the end, I used to keep the game so that it will be competitive also. Kids will always wait for the games at the end. And then last May, at the last, we used to do the cool-down. So it actually really worked out. And this is where Bhaichung Bhutia Football School were also looking for some of the coaches for Bangalore reason. They were expanding into the Whitefield, Bangalore also. And one of the parents came and told me, why not you go and apply there? And this is how BBFS happened. And I was really, really happy because I spent 6 months course for in BBFS for coaching under 6 kids. Had a very good experience of organizing a tournament also, where we met a lot of parents, a lot of kids. And one thing for sure, if anything you can learn from while teaching these kids, maybe one of the patience, you will surely grow over a period of time. And you will get unconditional love and respect because they don't know whether you are, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, 50 years old. For them, you are a teacher and they actually always love to or listen to the teacher and they share the same kind of bond with you. And that's what the BBFS taught me. I'm really, really happy that they have given me this opportunity.
Yeah, amazing. You know, it's quite an interesting journey you've had. And I can clearly see how, you know, your eyes light up and how excited you get when you talk about football as well as engineering. And, you know, I was going through the recommendations written by your colleagues and team on LinkedIn. And I couldn't help but notice like that a lot of folks have talked highly about you as a great leader and the initiatives, you know, you have taken over the years so far, which have had like a very positive impact on your employees' productivity, the growth, and, you know, to always keep them motivated. And like how you manage all of the work crisis and mainly get the things done, even back then during the time when you were working with a lean team as well. So I would love to know about a few of those initiatives you had undertaken and also what methods have worked like really great for you when training and mentoring your team.
So this is a very interesting one because it actually involves my roles and responsibility as an engineering manager. And I'll tell you, overall, my career is of 15 years, but 7+ years I have been engineering manager, senior engineering manager, associate director, and director, where I had the responsibility of building the team. See, there is a difference between managing an existing team versus managing or building a new team from scratch. There are differences, right? And that's where you need to think whenever, as an engineering manager, whenever you actually interact with the team, you need to know the notion or the sense of the team, whether they already have built something, you know, and they are already existing, they already have a mindset. You need to have that understanding. So I generally try both the approaches, two different, you know, approaches from the leadership point of view. One is, of course, you have to be a technical leader to actually, you know, get the respect back from the team, you know, so that you can share some of the knowledge which are growing in the industry. Or maybe you can have some of the presentation prepared from your side to, you know, feed in some of the interesting topics or points so that you can do the homework and they can actually do the proof of concept around it, right? So you always have to stand as a technical leader or technical motivator. There is a difference there. A technical lead will sit with you and work with you to resolve a real-time problem, right? As a, you know, with a team. While as a technical motivator, you can relate it to a professor, where in colleges, professor will explain your topic. And then later on, you go back and you will be so interested to know about it. You do the homework to read about that topic again. The differences. So you have to become a technical motivator to, you know, create that curiosity in the team. That is one. Second one is I feel you have to have very, very transparent, you know, system along with the team, because they see you as a leader, but they also want to know the transparent or without any doubt, all the organization goals, or you can say some of the decisions which you are making at the management level. Once you bring the transparency between the team, it actually helps them to open up. They will actually give the suggestion and they take part into it. Right now, what happens is most of the organization, there is a top to bottom hierarchy and the announcement is so bland. It comes in email communication of the organization or the team, right? That is what is making us more and more automated, or you can say non-human. We have built the system to have more human interaction, right? And that's why there is a department called human resources. It is not like employee resources. It is a human resources. We have a humanity in between. So what I do is, as a practice, every Monday, I start my day with meeting all the team member in one of the called core team meeting. So this core team meeting actually includes what is the organization decision, or what all things are going on in the organization right now in the last week, and how many hiring, you know, we are hiring new people and they are joining, that updates. If anybody is leaving the organization, those also will be included in that. And some of the fun plan also. For an example, next month we are actually, I'm planning to take my whole team to the Pondicherry. So we are planning for that. And then you explain that also. So this particular 1 hour with all the 50 plus members, you become their voice. And at the end, you open up the questions or for them, saying that every week I'll be giving you the update. This is my responsibility to make sure that a transparency will be build between the team members as well as the organization, so they will be always updated. That's where they feel comfortable, more connected to the managers in that sense. That is one of the practice which I actually follow. So you see, from leadership point of view, if I say there will be you have to be a technical motivator, you have to learn a lot of practices to do stakeholder management also, because right now there are very few niche profile which actually works for the individual contributor. You have to actually work as a team player, and that's where the stakeholder management becomes very important, because you actually work with different teams. You work with product managers, you work with the designers, you work with your team members also. So a stakeholder can be anybody, right? It can be a QA team, it can be a product team, it can be a hiring manager also. The hiring manager will say, okay, you have to take the interviews and you have to find, you know, fill in the blanks of two open positions, something like that. Stakeholder management also plays a vital role for the team members. Some of the initiatives which you have asked, right? Actually, it revolves around these three themes which I'm talking about: technical motivator, stakeholder management, and people management, as from the engineering manager point of view. But you would have asked me the same question 10 years back, I would have responded as an employee, as a software engineer.
Yeah, very true. And you know, I really loved the technical motivator approach. It's very unique and creative as well. And like you said, communication and transparency is, you know, key, and including that human side is very important. And not a lot of folks are, you know, doing that, or at least making it a priority. So, you know, Om, as a leader yourself, what would be your piece of advice for folks who want to take up leadership roles?
Yeah, absolutely. So these three things, I have been writing about engineering manager, hashtag engineering managers in LinkedIn. Okay, a lot many tips. So I have been writing a lot of tips to engineering managers, as well as I believe in the documentation part, where I have written some of the articles for engineering managers in Medium blog. It is homevikram.medium.com. As an engineering manager, you have to have some of the presentation skill, and LinkedIn provides a very good tool called SlideShare, where you can post some of the presentation and use it anywhere, anytime, anywhere. Okay, so my suggestion to the next set of leaders is, first, always try to build the next set of leaders for yourself. Okay, one of the best achievement in Amazon interview, when they asked me, what was your biggest achievement in the last 10 years, right, becoming engineering manager, I said, I'm really, really happy that I was able to make more engineering managers than I left, before I left, actually. So one thing
Nice.
is, you have to make the next set of the leaders, because if you are not grooming them, you will not grow to the next level. Or for your own satisfaction, you have to have that record that I am making, I am able to make some of the leaders within the team, right? Of course, you have to work. I will repeat that, you have to work as a technical motivator, you have to work on the stakeholder management, and you have to become a people manager, because if you are not close to the people in your team, you will be able to enjoy the success, and you can cry on the failures also along with the team. See, if you are alone, it will be senseless to celebrate of success of the project. It will be very painful when you are actually failing a project, but when your team is there, it will absorb everything, right? And that's why you have to become a people manager. The two points which are very important for the next set of leaders is delegation and negotiation. And this is what I have been telling about in my hashtag engineering manager hacks. See, most of the people who get promoted to engineering managers, they don't know what all things they have to do to take care of their current role, right? The new role. My suggestion is, they have to choose some of the young managers programs. This is called as YMP program. It is available in lot of places, a lot of cities in India. Online programs are also there. I think they should surely go for those workshop, because it tells you the behavioral aspect of the engineering managers. Tells you some of the workshop tells you how to handle the situation in a different way, right? That is very, very important. The second one is, negotiation skills is very important, because as an engineering manager, you have to deal with the top management, as well as your peers in your shoulder to shoulder, who are working with you, and your team members. So negotiation skills tells you whether to compensate on the number of resources, number of engineers you want to put in the team or project, or you want to tell the product manager, sorry boss, we will not be able to deliver within this crunch time. Maybe we have to extend a little bit more. So that negotiation skills is very, very important. And the second part of it is delegation. It is totally different, where you have got some of the instructions from the management. Let's say it can be strong, it can be lightweight also, but you need to delegate it to your team members, right? In such a way that you make a balance. You don't have to just delegate everything to your team member. You have to think whether the person whom you're delegating actually requires that or not. For an example, I'll just give an example, right? There is a task which includes, let's say, a Kafka pipeline. You have to build a Kafka pipeline with some of the topic you have to create. And in your team, there are like a lot of people who knows Kafka. Okay, and there is two, three members who has never worked on Kafka, right? Now, depending upon the situation, if you have time or not, if it is a very crucial project, you will always choose the person who already know Kafka. You will actually try to do that. That is a very normal one, right? If you have a little bit of bandwidth of the time, you would like to give this project to those people who have never worked on it. Why? One, it will motivate them. Second, they will be the next Kafka guys who are already there in the team, right? Also be, parallel to them. And the third one is, you will be able to actually find out if I give them a real good new challenge, whether step up to that or not. So these kind of thing, as I told you, right? Again, I'll just repeat those 5 points: technical initiation, motivator, people management, stakeholder management, negotiation, delegation, and prepare the next set of the leaders. That will really, really work out for all the leaders who are listening to this.
Yeah, I think, those are some really great tips you've shared, Om. And Om, I think your journey has predominantly been in the travel industry so far. And so how different is, tech hiring in the travel industry, compared to the other industries? And What are the roles you usually hire for in the sector? And I'm very keen to know like how you go about assessing for these roles. Can you like take me through the entire assessment process, you know, from source till hire?
So I'm in a technology department right now, right? So the department, all the hirings are exactly the same as in any e-commerce platform, right? Maybe Flipkart, Nykaa, Amazon, anywhere, right? But in the travel domain, you have some of the offline hiring also. Offline hiring in the sense some of the people who are required on the ground level for like BD people. Business development managers, they have to go and reach out to the hotels, let's say, and they have to know the location. They have to, ask them. They have to keep updating them about what's new. It at Goa, I make my trip, right? So they become the channel for us to help them out. So there is a different kind of hiring. One is online tech people, there is product, and there are some of the supply team members also. So I have never taken part into supply tech, team hiring. From the technical point of view, I have been mostly involved with software engineers, senior software engineers, engineering managers also, right? And these are for different teams altogether. So we in our organization, we have a common pool system. In the common pool, to understand the common pool, we need to understand that in Make My Trip, considering this is the online travel agent, we call it OTA, it has number of line of business, LOBs we call it, line of business. For example, one line of business is flight, and then there's holiday packages, ground transport, etc. Right? So now every team requires some technical guys and some product guys, some design, some QA. Every team. And they can work with each other, but they cannot switch the places with each other, right? Over a period of time, 2, 3 years, if they would like to change the line of business, that can happen. When we are hiring, we should not make a difference that we are hiring for this hotels team or we are hiring for flights team. It should be independent for the line of business. We hire for the technological knowledge which these people have. So we have our HR team or recruitment team has a concept of a common pool system where we open the position for, let's say, a software engineer, and you are looking for a back-end software engineer or front-end software engineer, right? Then the same thing is actually a vacancy is created on our Darwin box also. We use Darwin box thoroughly in our system. And earlier we used to have Workable as a solution for technical assessment and hiring. So we open a position into our common pool. And in the common pool, first thing is as our core policy, or you can say core values of GoMTC, caring. So we care about our own people first. So actually, referral people are always given a more advantage, more benefit out of it. And those profiles will be actually picked up who are actually interested for a back-end or front-end. And then based on that, there is a pool of people who are into round one, round two, round three. We generally have only 3 rounds of interview. Only in exception cases or a senior profile, there will be a 4 or 5 interviews. And these are actually more than lead software engineers and above positions. Right, so these guys will take the interview. We have a very good concept of shadow interviews where a SSE 2 can shadow a lead software engineer while he is taking the interview. In future, some or the other day, he also has to take an interview, right? The person understand that, and then technical lead can also join engineering manager to see the round 2 or round 3. I generally take round 3. My portion will be mostly on system design or real-time problem solving. On a broader level, the technical interviews and the recruitment cycle is almost the same as any other industry, but we do some of the things differently by the use of technology as and by the use of engagement in an automated fashion. Difference.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm pretty sure, you know, you must have faced a lot of hurdles during the entire tech hiring process. So what are a few major hurdles you have faced, you know, and how have your learnings from the over the years helped you in overcoming these challenges?
So one of the thing is, I think everyone who looks for some vacancy to fill in any organization, they face one of the bigger problem is email bombarding or referral bombarding. Okay, that is one of the problem. You get profiles which may or may not be required for your open position. That is one of the thing that you will get to know only when you actually read the resume, and then you'll get to know whether it is suitable for us or not, right? So right now there are a lot of companies who are working on automated, machine learning system, which actually looks for the keyword which you have input and then tells you whether this profile suits for your experience recruitment or not. The first problem which we faced is resume bombarding, one of the problem. Second is the scrutiny of it, the moderation process of it, which used to happen manually earlier. Now it has been automated by the help of machine learning, as well as some of the third party tools which we are using. after moderation, the third problem is updating the candidate about the rounds itself. Okay, most of the organization, what they miss to do is to inform the candidate about what we are expecting you in R1, R2, and R3. If they don't tell them ki, what you should prepare and come, he will just be ready for the experience interview. He will think, okay, maybe they will ask programming, maybe they will ask data structure problems, or maybe system design. They don't know. But what we have realized it, I think we should create a structured format where we have to tell the team member, we have to tell the candidate that you should be ready with these things, and here are the references. Go and read the material also. Come prepared, basically. Come prepared. So that is one of the third problem which we faced. Educating the candidate what they are coming for. Are they aware about their role? Are they aware about the rounds which you are taking? I have had several round three interviews where I have, in the beginning of 5 minutes itself, I have asked the candidate, if you don't know what is this interview or round about, I will give you some references. Please go back, prepare, and again. So we have done that several times. And the last one is the pre and post engagement with the candidate before and after giving the offer. The last problem which we actually face, because right now, if you look into it, the percentage of the people who has got offer and joining the same organization has dipped down a lot, right? After a pandemic, you would have seen there is a huge gap between that also. So I feel these are four of the major challenges which were running manually a lot earlier. Now has been modified, and people are taking care of some of the instances to smoothen this process. We have been working closely with DarwinBox to prepare a new product also. I will talk about that. That internally we are actually creating some of the product for streamlining this pre and post engagement of the candidate, and we can also find out whether the candidate has a probability to join our organization or not. So we are working on that area also.
That's nice. And you've touched a bit upon the candidate engagement strategy, pre and post the job offer. And we all know that keeping the candidates engaged and interested in the position before an offer is made can be very difficult, as candidates may be considering other job opportunities as well. And the candidate engagement post the job offer is also very crucial, and a lot of companies are struggling with that. So I would like to know how you typically engage with the potential candidates, before extending in a job offer and post offer as well. And any methods or examples you can share with us, which, you have found successful so far.
So I have had a very interesting discussion with my talent acquisition team regarding this, because in the organization, it used to happen that during the pandemic, you don't get time to interact with the people personally, right? To run a lot of things online or on a digital format so that these people who are supposed to join you can join you, right? So the thing which we have started doing it actually is actually first come, first serve. Okay, now take an example. You have given an interview in organization A and you are about to get an offer, but your hiring manager knows that this candidate is good and we have to offer that, right? Offer her, right? They have a discussion. They always have a discussion with the talent acquisition team. And then they say, okay, how critical is this particular engineer for me? So what we start doing is we actually reach them out directly. The hiring managers, I'm not talking about only me, but the hiring managers who are actually looking for that from the common pool. If that is decided that, Priyanka is going to join Om's team, Om will reach out to Priyanka saying that, hey, this is Om, your hiring manager. And you know what? We have got a very good role and responsibility for you. If you have time, let's catch up and discuss about this. So most of the organization, they set up a call. It's a call between hiring manager and the candidate to know the roles and responsibility, or they can make it a part of the round four also. But in our case, what we used to do is all the hiring managers started sending them updates in 2 or 3 days about some of the technical blogs which we have published, some of the news cutting. Take an example, the quarterly 3 profit record, which has come out just now in all the news. Those kind of links we started sending. If there is a very good offer for, let's say, for a family or a senior citizen, we started sending them to those, those offers, details about that to the candidate. So the responsibility is divided between the talent acquisition team and the hiring manager team, and the hiring managers to actually engage the candidate so that he or she will start thinking about Make My Trip at least on alternate days. Okay, somebody who's connecting me. Once we decide to give the offer, And I'll tell you, this is the same whole process we have automated. This I'll tell you later on. Post engagement, what happens is post engagement is a very crucial time because now the candidate has got offer. They can do shopping, right? In with the organization B, organization C. Priyanka has decided to actually let's go and check out or B or C because I have got the confidence that I've got an offer letter, right? So in the post offer, our whole strategy of engagement has to change. So you need right now. We generally have a coffee with that particular candidate session. So just like you would have heard about coffee with Karan or coffee with any, so you set it up something like coffee with Om. I will call you to meet me on a Friday to my office so that I can actually let you meet the people with whom you are working with. For example, you are coming as a software engineer one. I will introduce you to the software engineer one team members who will be your colleague. And you can ask those, and you don't have to be there. The hiring manager doesn't have to be there. You can meet them personally, go for a cup of coffee, and then you can discuss as blatantly, as transparent it can be. That is one. And then talent acquisition team has also taken one of the initiative that within 15 days before the candidate joins, we started sending them greeting card and bouquet. You know, we are really hoping. We call all the candidates go trippers. Go and make my trip. Call it go trippers. Your journey is about to start. Welcome, Go Tripper, and we send that bouquet and you know greeting card. See, it doesn't cost you more than $100, okay, to deliver from Ferns and Petals or any delivery service to provide one greeting card, one note, and a flower bouquet. But it makes a huge impact for the candidate who is in dilemma, org A, org B, and org C. I'll tell you a little bit third part of it actually where we have done the automation or we like this is under progress right now, under development, and we'll be closing this soon. Soon, and you will might hear about it. So we are creating something called My Engage in Make My Trip. It is one of the hackathon project which we have actually my team has built, where we actually attack this problem of engaging the candidate. How can we engage them without disturbing them, basically? So right now you see there are very few companies who provides a dedicated portal for you to look into that organization, basically. Which means, take an example, if you have got an offer and I see now you have 30 days to join, I have created a user ID and password for you to log into myengage.makemytrip.com, let's say. Okay, now you log in there and you see, oh, there is my offer letter. Oh, there is some organization policies are also there. Some of the important document which I should read joining this team. And now since I know that you are coming to join us as a backend developer, there are some of the course material you have to read before 30 days so that you can join it prepared. So we are putting those doc store also there. And we are having some of the puzzles where you can win Make My Trip offers for your flights or hotels. These puzzles are related to the history of Make My Trip. Let's say we'll ask, do you know when we were established, right? Like how long it's been in the software industry? Do you know, can you guess how many people are there? How many tech members are there? And so these are puzzles which dynamically or randomly bubble up in their dashboard, where once they answer, they might get 200 rupees offer or 10% offer on their next trip. So these kind of things we are thinking of already. We have created this portal, and the communication goes around offline also over their email or WhatsApp if they enable it for, if they change the setting. A notification, if they like it, then they can enable it for themselves, saying that, okay, these are good. I would like to have at least a notification to my WhatsApp also so that I can log in and check it right again to make it secure. But I want to get engaged to make my trip, even though I have a 2-3 offers. And that's what was the trigger point. And it has actually got a lot of appreciation in the hackathon as a hackathon project. Now we are making it a full-fledged project where we are going to use data engineering to understand the clicks of the candidate who are interested, who are looking to the portal. And during the phases, their phases, if their interaction is not there with the portal, we'll get to know, oh, okay, this guy is going from green to amber or amber to red. He's not so interested to join your organization. That's why he's not coming to interact with it. You have to, so it will automatically send a mail to the hiring manager and the TA team saying that we have found out this particular candidate is moved from green to amber because of his non-engagement with the portal. You guys have to take some crucial action right away. Set up a call with the person candidate to know what's his mindset going on. So those kind of things we are triggering actually, and this is the automated. Or you can say technology brings a lot more simplicity into the process, which was very, very cumbersome earlier.
Yeah, rightly said, Om. And I'm very excited for the launch of your product, MyEngage. And I think the one thing which I really liked is how the whole strategy is, you know, based on fun and personalization and bringing that level of clarity, you know, in, you know, to the candidates beforehand itself on how the organization is, how the culture is, you know, what you're going to be working on and who you're going to be working with, as well as, you know, your career progression. I think having those one-on-one discussions with them is really great and, you know, very crucial. And I think like Make My Trip is doing a fabulous job at this. So, like how different or, you know, similar is this entire engagement strategy, you know, say for freshers and the senior folks?
Yes, it is different. So we have categories actually. Once we offer them, right, we have categories where we actually look for 2 to 4 year experience, 4 to 7 year experience, 7 to 10 year experience, and 10 to, you know, you have different categories of segmentation of these people with their experience. So no matter what is their designation may be, right, right now, based on the number of experience which they have spent on the industry, we can configure different kind of engagement for them. So 7+ years is a tech lead, 10+ years, let's say engineering manager. We will provide them more details about, let's say, the stocks, how our Make My Trip stocks are working right now, they are doing in the market. Okay, those kind of information. While for a software engineer, it is not required. Might send them more technology related communication. So see, this platform has to categorize, as well as we can customize the communication which you are sending to the candidate, as well as the puzzles, games also changes for them. It goes in a different level. While for engineering manager or tech lead and above, we will give them more about the leadership principles of the Make My Trip. For an example, I'll tell you, since I have been involved with this, so remember this instance where we have, every organization has their core values, right? So we have our core values in 6 C's. We call it caring, curious, creative, continuous improvement, and commitment to results, and customer focus. There are 6 C's. So our questions or our core values will be a puzzle for the leadership team joins, right? And they have to, we can give an instance saying that key, one of the person has helped a supply team member by resolving a customer's problem. What core value it shows? And there are bubble 6 C's. Once you integrate the core value principle of the organization and the objective of engaging the candidate in the right segmentation with the help of technology is actually a very unique combination. And I think this is the way forward for any other organization too. And I again want to say that it doesn't have to be a very, very mechanic in tone. It has human in nature so that people can connect to the real people there. So we are also adding up a tour of the office into this portal where he can see where I will be sitting or where my manager will be sitting, who is closer to my desk, a 3D view of that. And works on the person who is a manager or maybe a HOD of some other department, he can look into the profile where it pops up a YouTube video. He says, "Hey, hi, this is Om. I have been working as a director of engineering here." Right, those kind of things. So multimedia powerful content, and those who are willing to know about the organization within going inside it, even though they have not visited the organization, get the feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, personalization is very important. And Om, I want to talk to you about how a lot of things, you know, have changed, you know, because of the economic downturn and, you know, post-pandemic as well. You know, finding quality hires can be a bit more difficult if one is not, you know, investing in significantly in the pre-hire recruitment and, you know, optimizing your sourcing and screening with strategic recruiting partners can, I think, definitely help you lower your hiring costs and, you know, find those quality talent as well. So I would like to know from you, like, a bit about the role of tech in your current hiring process and how has technology helped you in cutting down the cost per hire as well?
That's a very interesting part because cost optimization has been our one of the main goal during the pandemic. See, we are working in a travel domain. So travel domain was worst hit during the pandemic, and we worked really hard on the cost optimization from all the sectors, either it is in technology, it is in business development, or in recruitment also. And one of the good thing, one of the core value, as I told, right, caring of the people actually helped us out during that time to retain the jobs of the people who are working here as a staff, security guard, or anybody, right? Did care about each one of them. The cost optimization also applies to the talent acquisition team also, right? So screening and recruiting earlier, which I told, right, it was manual, always use some of the third parties, right, tools. And we wanted to also cross-check some of the data that whether this particular person has already applied here or not. All the people who have ever joined our organization, the data is already there in at Darwinbox. So what we did is we actually integrated with their API to find out how many candidates are already joined and how many candidates are now pending for the screening round, right? And the, in the screening, we actually started matching up the scale that what we require. And this particular process, you should take 2, 3, 4 hours also. If you give 50 resumes to me, let's say, and then I have to put into 3 boxes. One is select, one is reject, and one is on hold, let's say. This particular job of going through each of the profile, opening up, reading, and finding out, okay, is it suitable for this particular position or not, used to take a lot of time. So we started building up this. While there are two important tools which I'll tell you. See, one of the API which provides you, Darwinbox API, which provides us all the resume of the candidates who has applied for the job. The second one is the document reader. So Google provides a very good tool called Vision APIs, right? Actually allows you to read the content of the PDF or document file. So you read that, and through that you can actually put a matching string saying that you are looking for Python, Java, or this, and find out those resume into select box or reject box. Now it becomes automated, right? Technology helps you to do this whole manual process of 3-4 hours to within maybe a 1 minute or 30 seconds job, right? And the, you are saving the cost of 4 or 5 people for doing the screening to paying a subscription amount to Google API, let's say, Darwinbox. This is one of the ideas which has actually helped us out during hiring process. The second optimization I would like to explain you is not on the cost optimization, but on the time optimization during the hiring. I'll tell you, it's a little bit unique in the sense ki, take an example, if I'm in an interview, final round interview with you, to explain you that, you know, you have to create a flow diagram using online tool. Now you might think, okay, I know Google Drawing, let's say. There is different tool, draw.io is also there. There are tools out there in the market, but I am not comfortable looking into it, or maybe the technical recruiter will have their own, possessiveness about some particular tool also, right? So that's where we tell them, okay, in the normal way, when you come to our office, we can actually tell you on the board itself, this is the problem statement, and this is where you can draw your flow diagram. So it solves everything, right? Within 60 or 45 minutes, you can get the result. But in online, when we are talking like this, right, in a virtual mode, now to explain the problem itself, you should take 5 to 10 minutes. Right, in 5 to 10 minutes, he has to get adapted to the tool where he has to draw. So you're at least 20 minutes used to go into this, and in 1 hour interview, a 20 minutes time is gone just to explain the problem statement and explain the tools. That's where, as I told right earlier, you need to give the references to the candidate beforehand itself, what he or she has to know, or the tool which he has to use for this particular round of interview. So system design, you should know this particular tool. Come back prepared only when you know the tool. Okay, that is one. Second is, I personally create all this problem statement into my GitHub profile. My GitHub profile is public in nature. I have problems and I have solutions also there. And there are sample something 50 system design problems, which is there online. So I tell the candidate to open this URL, my GitHub profile, choose one of the system design problem and read it. So now what happens is, the candidate knows GitHub, right? Every developer knows GitHub. So they will go to GitHub, they will read the problem statement there itself, and they try to understand. Now I don't have to explain the problem to the candidate. You read the problem statement and then you tell me if you don't understand anything. So it reduces the time optimization from 20 minutes to 5 minutes, because everything is ready made. He knows the tool, he knows the GitHub URL where the problem statement is there. Now he just opened the tool and he has to answer that, right? Or maybe he can open a text notepad itself where he actually. So during the pandemic or after the pandemic, during the hiring system, right, we focus on two major areas, cost optimization as well as time optimization. A lot of people would have focused the cost optimization by choosing agent A to agent B, or making some of the processes, technologically very, very optimized. But time optimization is also very, very important, because if you would have given Google or Amazon or any other interview, right, they actually set it up for 45 minutes. 45 minutes, you don't have time to explain the problem for 20 minutes. In Make My Trip, if we are giving 60 minutes for your interview, I don't want to spend more than 5 minutes to explain you the problem. You come with the solution approach for the rest of the 55 minutes. These are some of the learning which I wanted to share with you.
Yeah, I think those are some really great lessons you have shared with us, Om. And before we, wrap up our conversation, I wanted to ask you, Om. So, you have been in this industry for over 1.5 decades. So, can you tell us a bit about how the industry has evolved over time, from back then when you started out to Fast Track to today, and any lessons, you have learned that have helped you gain new perspectives as well as shaped your approach to the industry?
So it's a little personal, but since it is related to the organization, I would like to share that, right? As I told in my initial introduction that I'm one of the very few percentage of the people who has worked in Redbus, Goiba, Make My Trip. You saw I have you will experience that in this 15 years I have seen the acquisition of a company as well as the merger of a company, right? Two companies. So I have been part of both of them. And so the key learning which I have actually understood or experienced is, do not go along with the crowd. Because this is your career. This is your career, your life. Take risk if it is required, but take a very conscious decision about your career. Okay. Do not follow the heart of everybody. Because for an example, I'll tell you in real time instant, right? During the acquisition of any big organization to a small organization, what happens is a lot of people leave the organization because they fear job security, they fear a lot of things, right? Now, during that time, I could have also taken that decision, okay, everybody is moving out. I think this is not the right place for me. Okay. But I stood the ground. I thought, I am new to this organization. Let me try to understand, take the risk and read, understand more about the system and then take control of it. Why not I utilize this opportunity? And that's where what happened is they saw that most of the people leaving, this guy is still standing the ground and holding all the fort. They looked out into this particular contribution, and the organization took interest in me, and they actually made me go through the exponential growth. So in my career, I never become a tech lead. I became engineering manager just after SSE2. Pros and cons both. Okay, there is a pros and both because I missed the learnings of tech lead during at that time, but I got the opportunity to become engineering manager, but it is not just because of the designation. I invested my time to become engineering manager, right? I took classes, as I told, right? Young manager program, one of the program as masters of e-commerce for engineering manager. I have taken multiple workshop classes to groom as an engineering manager at that time. This is one incident. The second incident is merger of Goiba and Make My Trip. That is also first in a kind of in the industry, right? Where two big tycoon of the travel industry are meeting each other. You need to focus on the learnings and you need to be very firm and confident about it. So for my suggestion to all the engineers out there or the leaders out there, they should actually believe in their strength, whatever it is, the tech stack or the people management skills or leadership skills, whatever you're good at, stick to that, trust on it that it will work. Grow your breadth. See, there are some qualities which is very, very good in you. Make a strong hold of it and grow the breadth just to know that, okay, this is what happens in the other area also. You have to be a master of everything. I want to say that you don't have to be a master of everything. The earlier saying in the early 20s or early 2000, people are like, I have to know everything. Like, I have to know MySQL database, I have to know C, C++, just like tech, then I can become a full stack developer. It's not like that. Right now, people are trying to look for a particular role which is niche and which is interesting to them. It can be as simple as, I would like to be a technical writer. You have to be a really, really good in that. You put a passion into this technical writing, right? Very good documentation, and it should show in your work. I think that will also suffice because that will make that person content happy. And it's that person's own choice because it's his or her career. It doesn't have to be, impacted by all the surroundings. So that is my suggestion. And that is the learning which I've learned because I have been through this both the phases. I think what I am content right now is because I believe in my strengths, whatever, like the you told, right? Energetic, enthusiastic, and That is what I believe into it, and I try to focus on my strength while spreading the wings to know about the breath also. But go on, take the risk only when you think that it is required, not for the sake of doing it.
You've beautifully put it, Om, and thank you so much for sharing, you know, those insights from your personal experience with us. I'm pretty sure it's gonna, you know, benefit a lot of folks out there. And yeah, that brings us to the end of our conversation. I had a wonderful time chatting with you, Om, and I love the insights and the tips you have shared with us today. So thank you again for joining Hiring Managers 101 podcast.
Thank you, Priyanka. Thank you for the time.
Thanks for listening to Hiring Managers 101 podcast. We hope you enjoyed as well as learned from it. To gain more such insights, join us for our next episode. You can follow us on LinkedIn at Technical Hiring Showcase page and our website technical-hiring.com to receive all the updates. That's all for this episode, folks. See you next time.